Sunday was the Feast of the Transfiguration. The gospel, it led us and left us to ponder on the presence of Almighty God on Mount Tabor. And we were left with the words, these words of Almighty God, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, to hear ye him." And this is still echoes in my mind today on the 11th Sunday after Pentecost, because today's gospel, it relates the miracle of Christ healing a man who could not hear. And because he could not hear, he could not speak. And I want to leave you today with another simple word to remember, like we did last Sunday. And this encapsulates today's entire sermon, and that word is "apheta," which means "be thou open." And remember that word, we'll come back to it. So in today's gospel, the deaf man, those words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Well, that's a moral and practical impossibility for the deaf man. If we are to understand hearing as only meaning according to our natural senses, how is the deaf man supposed to hear Christ? Because Christ is the Word of God. He is the spoken Word. He is literally the truth. And this Word, this truth, is to be heard. But we must remember that hearing, understood in the spiritual sense, is synonymous with believing. Because what good does it do for a man to be able to hear the truth, but then he chooses not to believe it? So we see with the deaf man, he could not hear Christ with his ears, but he could, and he could not express his belief in him with his tongue. But we see that he hears Christ in his heart. He believes in him, he recognizes Christ, who he is, but he's capable of healing him. In the deaf man, he proclaims this desire to be healed, not with his tongue, which he cannot do, but once again, he expresses it in his heart. And we know our Lord, he reads the heart. And when we think about the senses, they're able to function because of the heart. And our senses, they're ordered to truth, to attaining truth. They're constantly seeking it. Whether we realize it or not, the senses, they're the gateway to our souls. Especially with what we hear and what we speak. So nothing is in our intellect that is not first in our senses. And our intellect is created to know God. And we use the imagery of the heart to express what the intellect, the faculty of the intellect. We use the heart as that physical representation. So our brain, it receives the information, it receives the chemical and electrical signals. But it's the intellect, it's the heart which knows. And that's what we get saying, I know in my heart. And today we're reminded that our senses, especially our ears and our tongue, the gospel today, that these senses, they're subservient to the higher spiritual fact, that is the intellect, the heart. And our senses, they're created for goodness, for the attaining of good, for the attaining of truth. And they receive that by taking in the world around us. Our senses are created for that purpose. The purpose of acting correctly, morally, and virtuously. They really serve no other purpose. And for all of us, our senses, they all follow the same physiological processes or principles. Some might work better than others, depending on age and health, but nevertheless, our senses, they all follow the same pattern. They function the same. Therefore, the proper and moral use of our senses is likewise a universal truth that doesn't change from person to person. It's a constant. Let's just think about it. What good would it be if when a song is played, we all heard the same, or we all heard a different song? Or if someone was speaking and our ears deceived us and we all heard something completely different? doesn't depend upon me, my life, my obligations, my needs, my wants, or my desires. And in fact, the moment that I say that truth does depend on me, that's the moment when I commit sin. Because the root of that action is pride. And that's the moment when I close my ears to the voice of God. I don't utilize my senses in the right manner. I reject Christ, the Word of God, and I speak a lie. And if I do this enough, repeating to myself this lie over and over, in my actions I begin to habitually live a lie. So as Catholics, we're called to speak the truth, and we must live the truth. As Catholics, as baptized souls, the first time we heard the voice of Almighty God, the first glimpse of that truth, the first moment that grace enters into our souls is at our baptism. That's the first time we hear those words that our Lord spoke with life, a faith of me, thou holy. And we must go back and return to that original purity of our baptism. That we have been opened up, you could say, opened up to receive the truth. And now that we are opened up to receiving it, we have to receive it and then speak it by our actions. So some examples of this. If we hear something that is said in our presence that is a blasphemy, we must clearly and loudly say a reparation, like, blessed be the name of God forever, something like that. Just thinking on making reparation for that. Remembering the words of our Lord, that he who honors me before men, I will honor before my Father and before all the angels of heaven. Prudence obviously comes into play there, but if not, we can say it in our head. If we are around other people that use impure speech, like in work or school, or even our own companions, we should help them to see their error. We should not consent or show our approval while around them. We should try to help them out of charity. Because remember that bad language, using bad language, is a sign of ignorance. But what does that mean? Well, think of all of the words in the English language that we can use to express ourselves. The ignorant will stick to one because he's unable to think of any other way to describe something, to describe his passion, what he's feeling. So he sticks to one word. Like a little child who repeats a word because he doesn't know any others. And St. Alphonsus of Liguori, he always says, he has something to say on topics like this, and usually it's pretty strong. But he says, regarding this, that those who tell impure jokes or use impure language, they're doing the work of devils. Very strong words indeed, but it's true. And I thought to myself, a very visual example of what it means, the sins of the tongue, trying to visibly see that in our mind. Sins of lies, calumnies, detractions, words of gossiping, or words of anger against our neighbor. The imagery there is like answering a phone call from hell and then putting it on speaker for a world to hear. That's what the sins of the tongue are like. And some of the older priests who have witnessed exorcisms, they can probably attest to this, that when the devil, he says all kinds of evil and disgusting things, and when he's unable to say it himself through a specific person, he'll tempt other men to say these words that he would speak, to say these evil things. When we think of this, we see especially it's very true with regards to the media. Nowadays, you can say whatever you want in that regard, crossing the line in our speech is very common. I won't go into that and know exactly what I mean, but that sin is there. And we have to realize, we have to recognize that our tongue is really more deadly than any weapon that was ever created by man. that seems like a pretty bold statement, but it's true, because if you think about it, the tongue is a weapon. It's always there within our reach. It's always there. It's like a loaded gun. The tongue is the beginning of all warfare. All weapons, they can harm the body, yes, but the tongue is able to harm and wound the soul. It's much more deadly. And continuing with our imagery, could you imagine if instead of using words to harm others, we were only capable of using our fists? We couldn't speak ill about any others. We just had to use our fists in that to commit that sin. Imagine what that would look like. And we're tempted to talk behind someone's back or speak ill of another, but we can't do that because of the walk up behind them and punch them. And that's the reality of what the sins of the tongue do. And it's worse than that, because you think of punches, they never hit as hard as words. This reminds me of a little bit of experience with young boys. You see them, sometimes there's a little disagreement. One or two punches and then it's done, and maybe they're out there throwing a football around or, you know, chasing each other or their best friends. You know. But when it comes to words, the words will last a long time. It takes a long time, and it's, even still, it's not resolved at the end of the day. I'm not saying that punching someone else is correct, but it just shows that the sins of the tongue, they hurt more. And we think to ourselves that we're attaining the ends of justice by getting even with our words. Someone says something against us, or someone slights us, or someone tests our patience. We think we're fulfilling justice by bringing another person down, but we have to realize that in reality, we're bringing ourselves down by that action. We're bringing that person down, and we're also tempting them to come back at us with more sins of the tongue. And it creates this vicious cycle. And we have to break that cycle. So instead, we have to leave it up to God. We have to be patient, be humble, individual body, God has sorted out. And so on this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, let us recall the fact that we must hear Christ. That is, we must believe in Christ and imitate him. What good is it if we hear it, but do not put it into practice? We prove our love for him by listening to him. He is the word, and we are to hear. We must win our neighbors by our gentleness, not returning evil words for evil words. We must convert soul by our patience. We must open our ears to truth. And then we must speak the truth. And by doing so, we begin to live the truth. We must open our hearts, our intellect, to the voice of Almighty God. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," which is, "Be thou open."